on the shores of the Adriatic, as you can see, with Dr. E. Michael Jones. We've managed to escape the West for now, which is burning itself down, and we have sort of found refuge, I suppose, in the shelter of Eastern Europe, and it really has been something else. The Dangers of Beauty tour. What a success it has been, Mike.
It's exceeded my wildest expectations. Everything is perfect. We have a beautiful setting, we've got beautiful people, and we got beautiful topics, and we're all coming together to do with a transcendental experience.
And we've been talking a lot about how this could not really have happened in Western Europe because of Jewish control over hotels and businesses, whereas in Eastern Europe, the whole globalization problem has not hit. Now it's coming. But for now, it's like stepping back into Italy of the 1960s, really, where we are.
Well, I noticed this. One of the places we went was, I'm not going to say it, but it was a beautiful place, okay? Yeah. We got there, and we're on the water. It's a beautiful place, and we're talking, the man who's organized this thing is talking with the head of the local restaurant. And I realized that there is this ethnic solidarity here that is missing every place else in the world. And if they tried to stop you here, if they didn't heard where you were in Chicago, someone would call someone who was the middle, some bureaucrat, some employee of some big hotel chain, which is owned by a multinational corporation, and a form of control, and that person would get a call, and that would be the end of it, because he's not going, what does he care? My job is at stake. If that were happened here, they'd shrug it off. I wanted people to come to my restaurant. He wants people to buy his wine. These are all people working together. They speak a language that very few people others speak. And so they've got a protection. We have an insulation here against the oligarchs, against the New World Order that is constantly trying to shut down conversations. What is psychological warfare? It prevents unauthorized communication between subject peoples. That's what we're subject to right now in the United States and in Western Europe. Some places are worse than others, because they don't want us talking to each other, because we can come up with our own understanding, and we can come up with a better way of organizing the world that we live in based on a better understanding. They don't want that to happen. We are subject peoples. Whether you're in Dublin or whether you're in South Bend, you're living in a conquered province of the American Empire. And you are not allowed to talk unless you're talking according to their patterns.
We've lost the thing that is, you know, most synonymous with the West, which is free speech. But you organized this tour so well, Michael, that in one day we had breakfast in Croatia, lunch in Italy, and dinner in Slovenia. And one of the things that I've noticed is, for example, when we've been in Croatia as part of our tour, when you go into the local family restaurants, the first thing that strikes you, or at least strikes me, is that there is always a crucifix present, and the crucifix is overseeing the whole operation. And I watched one night in a beautiful family restaurant how one of our group was offering the waiter a 50 euro tip, and he refused to take it. He ran away, he's like, no. And I couldn't help looking at the crucifix in this beautiful, authentic family restaurant run with a Catholic ethos, and this idea that this man was not doing this for money. He didn't want to take that tip. He was doing it for the love of his culture, Catholicism, and you know, it's the greed of the West is not present in Eastern Europe yet. Maybe it will come.
No, Catholicism has been a buffer against these forces. let's go back to the beginning. We're talking about the greatest achievement in visual art in the history of the world, and I'm talking about the Italian painters, beginning with Giotto and going all the way up to, well, we could go up to the present if we wanted to, because they've always had it. Pietro Annigoni in the 20th century did the greatest portraits of the 20th century, no question. You can Google it, look up his Annigoni's portrait of Queen Elizabeth. It's stunning. Where did that come from? It could not have happened without the Catholic faith. It could not have happened because you have great achievements in Greek art. You have great temples. You have various places all over the world. But the one thing that allowed this to happen was the incarnation. We had suddenly people that Aristotle didn't know the world was created. But now when you know the world's created, you can look at the world and you can understand that there's beauty out there because God created it. And if you look at it long enough, you will be able to imitate. Art is imitation of nature. You will be able to imitate that and create beauty in your world. That's what happened here. If it weren't for that crucifix, it wouldn't happen. It wouldn't happen because it provided a protection. It provides an organizing principle. It allows you to peer into the hidden grammar of the universe, which is Logos. This is the Logos incarnate. And it's Europe. And what are we in the process of doing? What's the wicked American Empire in the process of doing? Turning all of these states into vassal states whose main purpose is to provide cannon fodder for some war that some Jew wants to have because his great-grandparents were treated badly, according to him, by the Cossacks or the Russians or something else. We have to be able to break away from this control. We have to, and this is what I was thinking about Croatia and about Ireland. Ireland was subject to tremendous persecution over this period of time. The only thing that kept it going was the Catholic faith. And the Catholic faith was great, but it achieved a certain level, and it had to go beyond that, and it didn't. And what am I talking about? A philosophical understanding, a deeper understanding of the depths of the Catholic faith, of the depths of reality, which is what we talked about in this conference. We have to become philosophical. It's not enough to say, well, Father said so, and that's why you do it. That's the tragedy of Ireland. One of the many tragedies of Ireland is that they were too dependent on the priest and they didn't understand the basis of it enough because they were a peasant. Every place was a peasant culture, but they were an oppressed peasant culture by the colonial Protestant power from England. How are we going to save this country? How are we going to save countries like the countries in the Balkans? We have to raise that level. We have to have someone who understands the threat. Okay, no one understood the threat. I mean, beginning with the Second Vatican Council, all right? The church has nothing to fear from the modern world. Well, yes, they do. Yes, they do. You said that. They said that at the moment social engineering is wrecking Catholic neighborhoods all across the country. Of course it's a threat. And of course, you better be smarter than the social engineers, because if you're not smarter, they'll destroy you. And they've been trying to destroy us for centuries. Us, why am I an American? Because my grandfather had to leave Ireland. It's not, so we have to elevate consciousness all throughout the world, but especially in these Catholic countries that simply did not, we have to come up to a higher understanding of the world than our enemies, because if we don't, they'll destroy us.
As far as the Irish are concerned, well, we can say it is tragic what has happened. We go back to the monks who saved Western civilization. No, there's no question really that the Irish monks were the foundation stone for the greatest universities on continental Europe.
But the Irish sailed down the Danube. They were the ones that brought Christianity to the Germanic people. I am half Irish and half German, so I have a foot in both camps here.
But the problem is that the average Irishman now thinks He cannot philosophize without a pint in his hand, or without being promiscuous, or without being gay. Like, they see this as being, you know, this is progress, this is modernity, and this is the problem, that they have given way to their passions when they need to go back to the monastic tradition if they want to become philosophers again.
Malt does more than Milton can to justify God's ways to man. Is that what you're talking about? Okay, that's a joke.
Okay, that's
it's recent. I mean, we're talking about you finally emerge, and then you've got the situation. The Constitution is written and puts family and mother and father in the Constitution. The basis of morality is put in the Irish Constitution. And within, like, what? Suddenly we're revoking that, and we're a referendum on abortion, referendum on gay marriage, referendum on this. They were caught unawares. It happened so quickly. In a sense, it happened so quickly, and they weren't ready for it. Look, we weren't ready for it. No one was ready for it. What were we? We were an Irish parish in Philadelphia. And the Ford Foundation had targeted us for extinction. And they bring in higher, these black, Leon Sullivan, these black ministers, they bring all these black people up from the South. It was weaponized migration of the same time that you're seeing right now, but it was happening in the United States. It wasn't foreigners. There were black Protestants from the South, and they brought in. We didn't know what was going on. I'm the first guy who ever said this was ethnic cleansing. That was something in the Balkans that you talked about over there. No, it happened to us. It happened to us. We were removed from our parishes when there was a transition here. And it was the Achilles heel of the Catholic Church in America. You had an ethnic identity. You brought a strong ethnic identity over when you came over from Europe. And you're over in America, and what does that mean now? And
exactly, yes.
How do you make this transition? How do you become an American without losing all identity whatsoever? And it was a mystery to a lot of these people, and a lot of, you know, people just didn't understand it. And then on top of that, you come over, you have six children. My grandfather has six children. And then they start marrying Germans and Italians and Poles. They're all Catholic. Well, there's a transition that we have to make here. We have to become somehow philosophical, because this is a more complicated world. Look what we have here. We have people from all over the world here. And we have to come up with a way of talking with people all over the world. And the one institution that can do it is the Catholic Church. We have the technology, we have the lingua franca, which is English now, but we need the philosophical basis, we need the basic categories. I'm seeing it here with Americans. You know, you're trying to talk to someone who has been baptized a Catholic, raised a Catholic, in rebellion against the Catholic faith because of these imagined slights. And they bring to this conversation one cliche after another. So you're trying to say, conversion, a word like conversion. And the only thing that the aperture, the category that this person brings with is, well, it's my way or the highway. We have to break down these cliches. They're not helping you. They're distorting your world. That's what I'm trying to say. Rise up. Have this transcendental view, because beauty is a transcendental. Understand what's perfect. Understand the basis that we have, and break away all these cliches. It's got to happen. I've talked to people, a German, you know, he said to me, I watched you on the internet. When I understood what you're saying, my entire world fell apart. Well, that's good, because it will open you up to a new vista. No, you're not guilty because your grandfather was in a train over there next to something that led to a concentration. This has all been imposed on the German people. That's the fundamental problem. Is they have to break out of those categories. Okay, this is the world that's going to come into being after the American Empire goes down the drain. And it's going down the drain because of the wretched excess and war and everything else. Something new and better is going to emerge.
Completely. I suppose the whole tapestry of this lecture tour it's based on the idea that the Catholic Church built everything that is great about Western European civilization. The Catholic Church built Europe, and therefore America. So you have discussed, we have discussed music in Germany, art in Italy, and then we've looked at modernity brought in by the Jews and Jewish control of art, how the Jews took over art and turned it into a money laundering operation. But we've also seen a conflict as well between the different nationalities. And one of the things I've observed about the English people who are here, but in general, is you see how they have been without Catholicism for 500 years, whereas in the Irish, it's only 30 years. And they find it very hard, I think, to get this idea and to accept that it was the Catholic Church that built Western European civilization and is responsible for everything that we have, such as private property, such as free speech. But then they do, I mean, one of the things I observe a lot when I go into cathedrals in Spain or Italy, and it is the Protestants and the English who call us Catholics, you know, superstitious, that we worship idols because of our statues and our art. But you see these English people in cathedrals and they're walking around, they're speaking, and they're acting as if they're in an art gallery. And when they see, for example, an Irish Catholic going into a cathedral, genuflecting and praying, they, you know, they're sort of shocked by this. And I've sort of observed that they are the real idol worshippers in many, many ways, because when we look at a beautiful painting of the crucifixion, we see the suffering of Christ. It's the message coming from the picture to remind us of the suffering Jesus went through for us.
It brings us into the present of the transcendent. Now, we art, beauty. Okay, now I showed you beautiful pictures, but they were what? When there's on a screen there, the lighting's bad, you know what I mean? We're projecting it on the screen from a computer. But what we did have is real music. And I have heard those pieces before, but when I heard them, just I was moved to the point where I got all choked up just trying to talk about a melody. I'm trying to analyze it and I'm thinking, it went right to my heart. This is the power that this art has here. And it did happen as a result of the Catholic Church. It was the Catholic Church that allowed this great movement forward in mimesis, based on Aquinas' understanding of being. Existence calls essence into being. That's the exact opposite of what Plato said. He didn't know the world was created. He thought that there was a realm of forms, which were triangles and circles, and you impose them on stone, and that's a Greek temple. And a Greek temple is beautiful because of the ratios and everything. And people built temples, Greek temples, for 2,000 years, and they're probably still building Greek temples. But there was another way, and it was Giotto who broke out of that and started painting the backgrounds and so on and so forth. The power is still there. Power is still there to move these people. That's why the art is important. The Catholic Church unleashed that power. If it weren't for the idea of understanding finally what the implications of the incarnation, the implications of knowing that there is a Logos out there, that there's we share that Logos because that's creation and we're creation. And so we are made for this universe and we can perfect that universe because grace perfects nature and beauty perfects art. That unleashes incredible power. So the English have for 500 years have been, you know, in rebellion against the Catholic Church. There's an incredible amount of residual anti-Catholic feeling, but we have to be aware of the times now. 500 years, it's over. It has evaporated. Protestantism is no longer a threat, and the result is this is a, and I wrote the review of Emmanuel Todt's book. It's a book in French, La Défaite de l'Occident. The American Empire is failing because the hidden grammar of the American Empire is Protestantism, and that is, has evaporated. It's not there. So there's violence because people don't know how to act. You understand, like the London, the way people are looking there. But it's not there anymore. And so we have this, out of the ruins, a new type of understanding will emerge. And I think that's what we're seeing. We're still seeing this kind of residual, it's resistance, you know? I mean, to say that the Eucharist is idolatry or art is idolatry, all these old cliches. I'm glad he was here, you know what I mean? So we could talk this out. Because it still has a hold on his mind. These old, as I just said before, those, like, it's my way or that. People's lives are full of cliches, and the empire's collapsing, and the cliches are going to disappear, and we need something new. It's similar, like the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire collapses, but there's something new emerging, this new Christian idea that took over and built a much higher civilization than that. That's the moment. The empire is collapsing. Hegel said, the Euler von Minerva fliegt meist bei Dämmerung. The owl of Minerva flies at twilight. This is the twilight of the empire. It's the twilight of the old gods. And something new is emerging. That, we're hopeful because God is in charge of human history. God, I guarantee you, God is going to have a happy ending. Because he created, he knows everything that's going to happen. He knew all the evil in the world, all the destruction of all these beautiful cities like Dresden during World War II. He knew it was all going to happen. He knew how good it was, and he allowed it because something better is going to come out of the ruins.
Yes, please God, it is. And I think we've been so struck by the beauty of the Adriatic. And it's not only the beauty of the landscape, which doesn't have these Jewish tower blocks, which are going up all over Ireland, all over the UK, all over continental Western Europe, Italy, the most beautiful parts of Italy and Spain, all you see are these blocks now. But you can, even in the people here, you know, you still see this friendliness, this warmth that comes from Catholicism, I believe, because there's no fear of the stranger in a way. I mean, Westerners have every justification to have fear of the stranger because it is the stranger now that is taking over their lands. But it's their own fault because, you know, they have stood idly by while Muslims come in and take over their country and they've done nothing about it. They've rolled over and they've continued to seek materialistic pleasures. But, you know, you look back at the West and you just look at the ugliness of that culture now. You see it in the young people covered in tattoos, you know, the obesity. And, you know, we live in such an ugly culture. And then you travel to the Adriatic, to somewhere like Croatia and Slovenia, and you're just surrounded by beauty. What's the difference?
By natural beauty.
Natural beauty. Tattoos, beauty of the people, you know, that I haven't seen this morbid obesity that we see everywhere now, not just America. Is this coming again from the Catholic spirit? It has to be, you know, because the sense of, you know, containing the passions. Libido is not...
Sublimating the passions. One of the pieces we dealt with was Titian's Noli Me Tangere. It's obviously from the Bible. The risen Christ is there by the tomb, and there's Mary Magdalene. Okay, it's a common theme. There must be thousands of paintings of this regard. But Titian's rendition is this Mary Magdalene. Clearly, once when you see the beloved, you want union with the beloved. There's a natural inclination. Okay, and so she's reaching, it's pretty obvious she's reaching for his genitals, which is shocking to say that. And Christ puts his hand down there, and because he puts down hand, he deflects that gesture, and the eyes rise up to the heart. And this is a spiritualization of a natural tendency. That's what you see here. It's not the negation. When the Puritans came to New England. They came with a Calvinist category that said that nature was evil. Evil is the nature of mankind, and so you've got to conquer it. You've got to defeat it. Well, that led to the ecological catastrophes of the 20th century, and we're still living with them. The automobile is a curse. The automobile is a curse on every city because you have to build parking lots. We have cities that are sold. Remember that Swiss city we went to? You could hardly walk sideways down that street. The people were so intensely together. That's a civilization that grew up with 2,000 years. That was there before Jesus Christ, and it grew up, and it became more. It was sublimated. The same gesture of that hand, like you're rising up, and you realize there will be a spiritual union, that love will be spiritualized. And what Tony, we're talking about the vineyard, we're talking about wine. Wine was spiritualized here. This is the one thing I didn't learn. It was brilliant what he said. This is a man who's deep Croatian identity. He's literally rooted in a sense in the soil because he's growing grapes. And he understands that what Christianity did to wine. At the beginning, wine, when you're a Greek and you worship Bacche, you want to get drunk and have sex. And that's the whole point of wine. And it's crude and you have to mix water with it because it tastes so awful. It's so strong. And over this period of time, the wine became more and more sublimated, and you got more and more of the wine and less of the intoxication in a way that grace perfects nature. They had that. We didn't have that in America. That's why I'm doing this thing about American identity. The Puritans didn't have that. They had this Calvinist category that blinded them. You know, they had these cliches. They had these things, these blinders on their mind, and so it's Calvinism and the wilderness. What do we do? Well, it's America. The richest country in the world, and I have to say, I love America. I am an American, but the ugliest country in the world as well, because everything now has to accommodate the automobile. Everything is ugly because of it, and people are sad. The world is ugly, and the people are sad.
And the Jews have destroyed it. I mean, and I know, you know, it's not really the answer to keep blaming them, because if it wasn't for the stupid goyim, well, right. You know, I mean,
they know how. One of the participants is a Muslim. The high points. How do these people? A Muslim lady just was wondering. How do these people control the entire culture because there's so few of them? She said there's a billion Catholics, a billion Muslims, and this is a couple million people. How do they do it? They control the high ground. And what we talked about specifically was Convailler showing up in Paris. The dealer now creates cubism. It's a dance craze. It's a fad. And as a result, people buy it, and you promote ugliness, and you promote confusion, and the people are demoralized, they don't know what to do. It's very simple. Aquinas said it. If man needs beauty, if you deny him beauty, he will seek pleasure, more sensual pleasures. Okay? And that means sex and drugs and rock and roll. That's what happened. You live in a culture, the only beautiful thing you can think of when you look around is a woman's body. It's that simple. It's beautiful. And so you're driven to that, and you're driven to some type of promiscuity because the culture is not beautiful, and it's not allowing you to sublimate that natural desire into some beautiful building. We've seen these beautiful buildings, beautiful landscapes, beautiful paintings in Venice, a high culture. It's all being subverted because you suppress the beauty, you're going to promote lust and promiscuity. It'll be perverted, that the natural desire in the natural beauty of a woman's body that leads you into marriage and children and so on and so forth will be diverted. And then the Jew will come in. We have to say Jew here because they control pornography. They knew what they were doing. They still know what they're doing. There's a rabbi who owns Pornhub. Okay? Why is there a rabbi? Because this is the way the Jews control you. That's one of the ways, one of the main ways. And one of the main things that I should have said in Ireland 40 years ago is that sexual liberation is a form of political control. If you didn't know it then, you know it now. You know it now. Are you happier now than you were then?
Yeah.
But I didn't know it then. I had to figure it out, okay? We all have to figure these things out over time. So all I can say is better late than never. I have a guy, I'm just riding my bike to the grocery store in South Bend. The guy pull up and the guy says, "You're E. Michael Jones, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "I stopped watching porn because of you." By the grace of God, that happened. I don't know why it didn't happen. Why didn't I say this 50 years ago? Why didn't I spare everyone in Ireland? Why didn't they all know it before? I'm sorry. I didn't know it. I didn't know it till I said it. And now I said it, so now it's time. Better late than never.
But the prodigal son, you know, we have to make our mistakes.
That's right.
You know,
you're right.
We can only grow out of the suffering that we subject ourselves to. And, you know, Mike, we've had this struggle with the white boys, you know, who worship Hitler instead of Jesus. And they believe, you know, that it's all down to ethnicity and our skin color. I mean, nobody in Ireland has ever called themselves white. They've called themselves Catholic, though. But, you know, this is a way of opting out of morality and saying, no, we're white. And we see this ongoing issue, you know, all of these new political parties setting up, certainly in Ireland, they're run by white boys, but you scratch beneath the surface and you look at their own lives. And unfortunately, you know, there's second families, there's children who aren't seeing their father. And these are the new heroes that are going to save us. We've spoken about Michael Voris. We've spoken about...
Well, Jim Goad. I did an interview with Jim Goad. I actually confronted him with him. Jim Goad and I were both from Philadelphia. He went to Temple. I went to Temple. And then suddenly he's a white boy, you know? And so I said, well, a white boy's a Protestant, doesn't go to church anymore. Except in your case, you're a Catholic who doesn't go to church anymore. And why don't you go to church anymore? Why are you talking about this type of stuff? It's because you broke with the moral law. You abandoned the faith that you were born into, baptized into when you were born, and then you started off, and now you're looking for some excuse. And if you're a white boy, it doesn't mean anything. Race doesn't mean anything. So that means, I can do whatever I want. And that means I can screw whoever I want. And that means I could become a slave of my own passions. That's not the solution here. But that's exactly the problem that we're confronting here. Because when Protestantism evaporates in Protestant countries like England and Scandinavia, you know, what's my identity? I was a Norwegian who was a Lutheran, and now the Lutheran Church has disappeared. I don't know what I am. And so now there's this natural gravitation toward race as the default setting for all of these people. And it's a dead end. It's not only a dead end, it's a trap. You're lured into a trap. As soon as you identify as white, you're going to lose. I guarantee you, you're going to lose. Especially, it happened in Ireland. It happened. So the moment, you know, suddenly there's these demonstrations against the immigrants. Okay, I understand you're being flooded with immigrants. I understand it's being weaponized. But you're defining yourself as white against those people. You played right into the hands of your enemies. Varadkar's not here anymore, but you played right into his hand because he said at the same time, he gave a speech, you know, about all these white. Now, there are no white people there at all. They're Irish Catholics. They're not white. And if you identify with that category, you're internalizing the commands of your oppressors.
Yeah. We have to fix the problem is morality. And, you know, I go back in a way to that scene that I witnessed in the Catholic restaurant in Croatia where the waiter was refusing to take the tip. And even though the man, the Westerner that was offering it to him, was just trying to express his gratitude, this relates back to the cover of your book, The Dangers of Beauty, and this image of Jesus saying no to the material, to the destructive force. And you could argue that scene of the Catholic waiter saying, no, I don't want your money. I didn't do it for money. I did it because I want you to enjoy this food that was made by people who want you to enjoy it, you know?
I think we're talking about capitalism here. And capitalism is a Protestant invention. And England was the prime capitalist power, and the biggest damage that was done recently was the era of Reagan Thatcher, where they basically allowed the looting of the American economy, the looting of the American workforce, basically the leveraged buyouts of factories. Labor is the source of all value. Labor is what made America great. Americans knew how to mobilize labor. Henry Ford was a genius when it came to mobilizing labor because he created the assembly line. He paid high wages and he got the best workers, and we created an industrial powerhouse. And that was Main Street, but Wall Street's controlled by the Jews. And the Reagan betrayed his own people by allowing Wall Street to buy these enterprises, cut them up, load them down with debt. Mitt Romney did this all the time, you know, private equity firms like Bain Capital. The company goes belly up because it can't pay back to that. He's a rich man and everyone else is out of work. That's what happened. And in Ireland, it was basically these people coming in and I'll lend you money, okay? This is great. It's the Celtic Tiger. Hey, I borrowed money and I'm going to Mallorca. Oh, wait a minute, I have to pay it back. This is part of the lack of understanding of what was going on. And we have to identify the enemy, because if we don't, we cannot win the war. This is Sun Tzu, so he's not a Catholic. We have to know who we are. If you don't know who you are and you can't identify the enemy, you will lose every battle. And that is the story of the Catholic Church in our time. This naive optimism about modernity that suffused Vatican II, the naive optimism about economic development as the most fundamental good in our lives that suffused Ireland during the time of the Celtic Tiger, this was not Catholic. And I think capitalism was the vehicle. Our people are still defending capitalism. It's state-sponsored usury. I wrote a book called Barren Metal, if you want the details. The history of capitalism is the conflict between labor and usury. Labor is the source of all value. Your ducats cannot copulate, as Shylock said. You know, labor is the source of value. We have to treasure labor because that is the source of our wealth. And if we don't do that, if we take short-term gratification over long term, it's like, okay, you're cutting down the apple tree because someone's offering you cheap apples from someplace else. In the long haul, it leads to poverty. And we are now heading toward poverty because we abandoned these ideas.
When we were growing up in the 80s, and very much aware, I think, in Western Europe of the fact that Eastern Europeans obviously were living under communism. They had no freedom of movement, no freedom of travel. And, you know, we felt so smug that we had all this freedom. And those poor Eastern Europeans, you know, who were followed around by secret police whenever they weren't able to come to the West. And now the tables have turned completely. Eastern Europeans look across the Adriatic. And I think, what have these people done? What have the Germans done to their country? What have the Italians and Spaniards and British and Irish people done? And they look at us, and rightly, they're probably a bit smug. They're like, you're crazy. You've burnt down your civilization. So it's an interesting paradox.
There is a paradox here.
You can speak freely here now. You can't go up the motorway to the home of your ancestors on your mother's side. And there's a possibility, if you go into Germany, that you would be arrested.
Yes.
I mean, but you can speak completely freely here in Eastern Europe. The irony.
This is the task. Okay, what was the genius of Europe? You had unity and diversity. That's also beauty, okay? That's also God. That's the Trinity. This is a fundamental concept that made Europe great. So what do I mean? Let's take the Austro-Hungarian Empire. It was all of these different groups. There are all these different ethnic groups all around here. How did they live in peace? Because they had the Catholic faith as the basis of this. Because the Catholic faith allows you to your own culture. So you're speaking your own language, but at the same time, you're integrated into something that is larger, that has an overarching principle of unity, because it's based on logos, a fundamental understanding of logos, okay? And that's what you need. If ethnos needs logos, the whole point here is right now, we need to defend Croatia. The Croatians need to defend themselves because that is the basis of unity. They have a rooted ethnic existence. They have ethnic solidarity. I mean, obviously there's fighting here, but they have ethnic solidarity. They collaborate with each other. They buy this guy's wine and this guy local food, local wine, bring the people in, we'll feed them and so on and so forth. But they're connected to some overarching principle that allows everyone to cooperate with each other. The erosion began when you had this type of individualism that Protestantism created. They couldn't live with each other. Basically, they couldn't. Okay, the Puritans couldn't live with the rest of the Englishmen, so they all came over here. And there's no one here. They couldn't live with the Indians. They couldn't live with the Virginians. They can't live with anybody because they are. This is so idiosyncratic. It's like in Philadelphia, the Quakers take over. You know, they're pacifists, but they want to retain their property, so they pay other people to do their fighting for them. Well, they use proxy warriors. Well, that's hypocritical. But you can't talk to a Quaker. Why can't you talk to a Quaker? Because every Quaker is directly inspired by the Holy Spirit. Well, we only have one person who's infallible in the Catholic Church, and he's known as the Pope. When everybody's infallible, how do you talk to each other? It doesn't work. And so it has to be modified. The modification is generally known as secularism, which means we'll forget about religion. Well, you forget about religion, then one thing happens. Might makes right. The mighty take over. So when that man is saying like this, you're right, it's a gesture of renunciation, should be sublimation. What he's saying is there are higher values than your money. There are higher values than your money. Like ownership of a culture that is going to protect me. I don't care how much money you give me. I need the protection of my fellow people. And that's not something you buy with money. That's the lesson that I'm deriving here from Croatia. That's the lesson. And that's the lesson. So how do we do it now? I mean, there are people here like an Indian who grows up in England. Completely crazy idea. Completely uprooted. What are we going to do? Well, we have to be philosophers, that's why. We have to come up to this a deeper understanding of the thing so we understand the principles and so we can still create unity now on a higher level. This is the whole point of suffering. You're exactly right. The whole point of suffering is summed up in the rosary. Happy, sorrowful, glorious. That's the sixth symphony that we listen to. You start off walking through nature. The storm comes up. God allows evil in this world because he can't ban it, because he'd have to ban free will and we'd all be animals. We'd be like fish, you know. The thing goes off, you breed. You don't marry. The fish don't marry. We'd all be animals. If we were all animals, we wouldn't have all this glorious architecture and beauty. So we have to allow it. But we have to understand that God can take evil and turn it into good. And it's not too late. It's never too late. And I'm saying, culturally, it's not too late. You can build back the cathedral in Dresden. This is, in a sense, the story of Germany. Okay, the story that no one tells is the ethnic cleansing of the Germans after World War II. Horrendous. 11 million people just put on the road in the middle of winter, old people, women and children, dying. Millions of Germans died. Nobody talks about it. Mm-hmm. Nobody talks about it. And you look, it was a big, I used to mourn Germany. I used to mourn all of the destruction of the architecture. But there's a bigger plan here. God knows that, you know, he knows that there's going to be suffering, but he knows that there's a bigger plan because he can take evil and turn it into good. And so the story of the ethnic cleansing is, what was the most valuable thing in those? It was the German mind. Because the German mind knows how to mobilize labor. And so they send these German backs with starving to death into a country that's been destroyed. And within 10 years, they build it back. Because labor is the source of all value. And those Germans were the best workers in the world. And so what happened to the Sudetenland? It never recovered economically. You go to Ostpreussen now, it's now in Poland. It's never been as prosperous as it was when the Germans ran it. These are the lessons we have to learn. We can't mourn the past. It's like me saying, you know, why didn't I know this 50 years ago? Look at all the people I could have saved if I said sexual liberation is a form of political control. Well, I didn't know it. I had to figure it out. This is God's plan. If you don't understand that there's a God who is in charge of human history, you're going to fall into despair immediately, and you're going to do drugs, you're going to get involved in sex, whatever it is, as some type of release from the depression that the world, you know, contemplating. Seeing the world without the eyes of faith is going to make you depressed, and you're going to fall into despair. And that's not, so the message here is that there is beauty, and you can come, we can come back because we have this consciousness, this global consciousness is forming. We've got people from countries all over the world. The conversations are amazing. We got two Muslims here who are obviously having trouble with this type of thing. We have former communists who are having trouble with these things, but we can do it. I think we can do it. We can have these conversations that will lead to a new type of unity. And I'm talking specifically because I'm an American. This consciousness will find political expression at some point. And at some point, the political process is going to wake up to the fact that we have a Jewish question as the fundamental political issue. And these discussions will lead to that consciousness. And God willing, we will find a political leader who will implement it politically.
Well, yeah, but I mean, until we fix the morality issue, we're going nowhere.
You're absolutely right.
And really, that, you know, politics is downstream.
You're absolutely right, and that was the traditional understanding of America. They're not going to have a state religion, but John Adams said, we have no constitution that functions in the absence of a moral people. So if you can't govern your own passions, forget about democracy, because you will not be able to govern a country if you can't govern your own passions. I said the last time I was in Yugoslavia, here's the American master of the universe who starts off telling everybody, speaking in a loud voice, in a restaurant in Mostar, where I was staying, talking about, well, we're going to fix the Balkans. Oh, by the way, my daughter hates me because I divorced her mother. So here's a guy who can't even keep his family together, and now he's going to fix the world. This is classic America.
Well, I can only say how delighted I am to have you here in Europe. We want to keep you here. You're continuing your tour. You're heading further east, where you're going to receive a phenomenal welcome. And I think the thing about the Eastern European countries is they remember, communism is so recent to them. Their parents lived under it. So when they look at Brussels encroaching more and more into their lives, they're like, no, we're not having it. And, you know, so we have so much to learn from Eastern Europe.
This was God's work. I couldn't have done this. This is God brought us together for a reason. And God can bring everybody together for a reason if you're open to the movements of his spirit in human history. So, yeah, I'm going to Serbia. You know, these people have been at each other's throats for millennia, probably.
Because of American interference, Jewish interference.
They are, what I said about Croatia is even more true about Serbia. Serbia, Delenda Est. The NATO wants to destroy Serbia. No question. because they are under, they are a satellite of Russia in a sense. NATO wants to destroy Russia, and so they have no, NATO is saying you have no right to exist as a Serb. This is crucial. So if I can in some way help to preserve the Serbian people, to preserve the Croatian people, to preserve this ethnic identity as something that protects you, it's like your family. Why do you have a father and a mother? They protect you when you're helpless. The ethnic group is a protection against predatory forces. The Irish need to know this. They're not their friend if they want, if they're offering you a loan. They're not your friend if they're offering you pornography or gay marriage
or
divorce or any of these things. These people are not your friends, okay? And you have to understand immediately that anyone who does this to you wants to turn you into a slave. And that's why it's important, these last ethnic groups in Europe, like Hungary standing up to the New World Order. We're in the last ditch now. We have to do whatever we can to defend this ethnic identity, because the ethnos is what protects us in the same way the family protects us.
Thank you so much. Dr. E. Michael Jones, fidelitypress.org, culturewars.com, The Dangers of Beauty. To understand everything that we've been talking about here, you've got to buy it, get it. And please God, we'll see you in Ireland soon.
Yep.
Definitely.
Yep.
Definitely. Thank you.
Thank you, Gemma.
It's been a real
Thank you
pleasure.
For coming to the conference. Thank you for contributing to
Thank
this
you.
Movement of the
honor.
Spirit forward in human history. When the history books are written, Gemma O'Doherty will be here as the lady who saved, the Joan of Arc of Ireland, the lady who saved Ireland.
Far from it, but you'll definitely be there, no question.
Thank you.
Again, thank you everyone for watching.